I wonder, what is the longest amount of time you have ever spent video gaming? What is the longest time you have spent immersed in video games? What would be the longest amount of time that you would spend video games if it wasn't for your parents coming into your room and saying ridiculous things like, now it's time for tea, or you need to switch that off and go to sleep, or haven't you thought about going to the toilet for the past 6 hours or something? What would be the longest time you would spend video gaming? You see, the longest time on record, you can look this up, the Guinness Book of Records, is someone video gaming for 135 hours straight. Think about that. That's like almost 5 whole days playing Call of Duty Black Ops Edition 2. Now, you think, how do they do that? Well, the Guinness Book of Records does allow you to have some breaks. And only 10 minutes every hour, but you can batch them up. But the reason that they allow them to have some breaks is that a little bit before this guy with his 135-hour thing, someone was playing 40 hours straight, an 18-year-old lad, and then he collapsed and died. And they thought, that's not so good. We need to allow them to have some breaks. Well, I mean, because video games are an immersive experience. Even without the VR headset thing, they are an immersive experience and take you into all kinds of worlds. You can do all kinds of things. And now, of course, connected online, you can talk to other players. You can play with other players. You can play against them. And then it unfolds. There's new episodes, new chapters, more money for the game makers, and so on and so on. It's incredible and it's wonderful. But we have to remind ourselves that it is not real. It's virtual. It's not actually living, even though you are engrossed. Some 2,700 years ago, there was a guy who had a little bit of a strange name called Isaiah. And his thing was that he would hear God speaking, and he would write this stuff down. And on one of these occasions, he heard God saying, and he wrote down, he heard God saying, tell the people, be ever hearing but never understanding. Be ever seeing but never perceiving. Let their hearts grow hard and cold. In other words, the people will have their senses working. They'll be able to hear, they'll be able to see, but they won't actually be connected to the real life that is just there, just around them. They will be engrossed in their own way and will somehow be cut off from the real living reality. Well, 2,700 years ago, it sounds to me that he was describing gamers, people engrossed in their video game, because we know how it works. The person in the game, their senses are working. They can physically see, they can hear, they can smell, touch, and all the rest of it. But you can walk in their room and say, here's £1,000, and they will totally ignore you. They will not connect with the reality around them because they are in the game. Now, worryingly, God also says through this guy, Isaiah, he said, let that happen. Let them go down that road. Let them become closed off, because otherwise they might hear, they might see, and they might then understand, and then they might turn their lives around, and then they can be healed. It sounds like God is almost saying, let them go down that road, even though sooner or later down that road, they're going to collapse and die, which is not good. Well, we know from loads and loads of other verses and things that God has said and people have written down, we know that ultimately that is not God's desire. That God doesn't want people to be closed off and to just collapse and die. But here's the deal, that God will not force himself on anyone. He gives each and every one of us the choice. He allows us to choose. So if we want to go down this road that is closed off and not perceive the true reality of all the good stuff that he has for us, then he will let us do that because he gives us that freedom, gives us that choice. But he wants us to listen, to see, and to turn, and then there's a whole bigger reality that we can find in God to be embraced by. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, oh, I know what he's saying. He's saying that I need to turn up at church every once in a while. I'll come and sing some of your songs. I'll pray some of your prayers. I'll do the God thing. I'll tick the God box. Well, actually, God said some stuff about that as well. Through this same chap, Isaiah, for those of you who like chapter and verses, chapter 29, verse 13, where he says through Isaiah, he says, "The people honour me with their lips, but their hearts, they're a long, long way from me. Their worship is just what they've been taught by other people. It's just a human set of rules and regulations." And I'm paraphrasing here, frankly, it sucks. It's no good. You see, God wants people to actually know him, to actually relate and to know that he's there and to be known by him. And then they can perceive and understand the much bigger reality. Bigger than any game. The fact that God has a dignity for each and every single human being. The fact that God wants to lead people to grow into fullness and wholeness and all the good stuff that he has for him. The fact that with God that healing from brokenness is possible. Which is way, way bigger than the narrow reality that we often choose to go down. And God makes knowing him possible through a man called Jesus Christ, who actually physically lived 2,000 years ago. But when you look at his life, you start to twig that he lived, but he lived different. Everything that he did and said, every conversation that he had was genuinely authentic. But then he gave himself, he gave his life, and he gave himself to the last, to the very last gasp of breath, so that people, all of us, can go free. So that people, all of us, might be forgiven, so that people, all of us, have a chance to be restored and connect with God once again. You see, he was cruelly taken and people set upon him, and eventually the Romans did what the Romans did best, and they nailed him to a cross and he was cruelly executed. And for sure he was dead, and for sure he was buried in a tomb. But 3 days later, his followers then saw him alive. And of course, that blew their minds. That he is still alive, even having died. And that kind of reset their expectations, recalibrated. That now their understanding of what's reality has suddenly got a whole lot bigger. Because it showed, with Jesus being alive, that there is in fact life through death. There is life after death. And they started to see that and to come to terms with that and get with that. But here's a quirky thing about Jesus. When he was living and he was walking around and having conversations with people and crowds were gathering, a really quirky thing about him is that he told his stuff in stories. And the thing about stories, rather than just downloading information, is that you had to listen carefully. You had to kind of tease out the meaning and think, well, what's he actually saying here? What's he actually getting at? So much so that his followers were a bit puzzled by this. And they went up to him and they said, Jesus, what's with the stories, man? People aren't getting what you're saying. And do you know what Jesus replies? He said to them, well, you see, it's like this. The people will be ever hearing but never understanding. They'll be ever seeing but not perceiving. In other words, Jesus quoted those words through Isaiah from several hundred years before. And the reason Jesus did that and replied in that way is because Jesus knows how things work. He said, look, I know how it works. You see, if I just give people the straight information, if I just put a PowerPoint up with the bullet points, and then I say, okay, hands up here in the crowd who gets this and who wants to go with, I know what will happen. One person will put their hand up, and then everyone in their crowd will put their hand up. Because that's how crowds work. We've seen that. I mean, we see that today. We see it all the time. One person does it, and then everyone's like, oh, yeah, 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 I'll be in. I'll come in as well. And suddenly you've got everyone putting their hand up, simply because one person put their hand up at the beginning. Jesus wants followers, but he doesn't want people who simply follow the crowds. He wants people who see the true reality and with that prepares to step out of the crowd, to live life different in the bigger reality that God gives, the bigger reality that God makes available. He doesn't want people to just follow rules and regulations to do churchy things. No, but he wants people to actually get it of what he is all about. And to go with that, even if a crowd is going in the opposite direction. So he wants people who will step out of the game. And that invitation is there for each and every one of us. That all of us can do that if we start truly listening, if we start truly looking and see the reality of all the goodness that God has for us and choose to step into that. And it seems to me, over these past couple of years, that that's exactly what William has started to do. To start paying attention, to start listening, to start perceiving. And in that, of course, God has been speaking to him, and God has been saying, well, it's time to get baptized. And so he went to his parents and then to me with that. Now notice that it's God saying to William, it's time to be baptized. It's not us saying, oh, well, William, now you're in secondary school, you're that kind of age, don't you think you ought to be baptized? It's not that way round, because generally speaking, as a church here, we don't say to people, look, it's time you were baptized. We want you to have your own encounter with the living God. We want people to know Jesus for themselves, not simply because that's what the rest of us do. And so we wait for people to have that encounter, to start to respond, and we want to nurture that and encourage that forwards. Now, God will speak to people in loads of different ways. For some people, it'll be a loud thing. For some people, it'll be a quiet whisper. For some people, it'll take ages and ages. It'll be a slow burn thing. For some people, it'll be in a flash, in a quick event. It doesn't really matter. Well, what I see is no matter how God speaks to people, I see some common themes emerging. That people start to get that God is with us. And I think if you listen carefully to what William said, you would have heard that from his own accounts. that people get that they can entrust their whole life into him. And I think we heard William say that too. That because of Jesus and what he's achieved and done, that we can be forgiven and we can start forgiving others too. I think William said that. And now in following him, he is calling us and urging us and equipping us to live different and to see things differently and go a different way. I think we heard William say that as well. And so with all that, you will want to be immersed into the new reality of all that God gives. You will want the old stuff, the old way of thinking, the old way of seeing stuff, the old way of hearing, to be washed away, to be taken away. And you'll want to come up and live life different and anew with him. And that's what baptism wonderfully illustrates. As you go down into the water, say, let all that old stuff wash away. I don't need that anymore. It didn't help me, and it was no good, and it can now go. But I want to come back up, living my life with him in the bigger reality that he has. That is possible for each and every one of us. Because of the physical reality of a man, Jesus Christ, born of God, living different, being taken and going ultimately to a Roman cross, being dead and buried in a tomb, but not staying there, being alive again. Therefore, no longer actually just confined to history books, but able to meet with each and every one of us here. If we would open our hearts, if we would open our lives, if we'd just reach out and say, okay, God, let me start hearing from you. Let me start seeing all that you have. Because I, too, want to start on this journey and step out of the game and follow you. Why don't we pray together? And it might be the first time that you've kind of heard this stuff, or first time that it's actually started to make sense. It's started to connect. And God's desire for you is that you say, yeah, I'm going to turn and be restored and be brought into all the wonders that God has for me. Well, we can pray together, and I will pray, and I would suggest you just echo the words that I pray in your own heart or under your breath or however you want to do it, because he is just a prayer away. Let's do that. Dear.